All right. Well, if you can't see me, turn this way. We're going to be finishing out this Character Found on the Battlefield series, and we're going to be talking about integrity. But I want to say thanks to Danny for coming and speaking last week. Did he not look good in that sport coat? Yeah, dude. Looking good, man. Looking good. So yeah, we're going to be talking about integrity today. But before we do that, got a little competition, a little table competition for us, okay? I'm going to give you the rules. Don't touch anything. I'm going to give you the rules. They are so simple. Here's the rules. So you're in the bag is a bunch of mini marshmallows. You've got a thing of spaghetti. Okay? Here's what you need to do. The goal is to see who can build the tallest tower that can stand. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. It has to be flat on the table. You can't put it on the box. You can't use the box. You can't use the paper bag. You can't Google it. You can't, I don't know, like, whatever it may be. I know you'll come up with some way. You have the spaghetti and the marshmallows. That's it, on the table. You can use all that. You can't, wait, don't touch anything. You can't move. You can't go to another table and get things, okay? This is just as simple as it is. Marshmallow, spaghetti, start on the table, build the tallest tower. The team that wins gets a trip back to the fridge at the end of the time. Okay, it is 11:13, and that means you have 6 minutes to do this. Ready, set, go. Go, look up here real quick. I took a leap of faith there to do an activity like that before a message. So I hope you can honor me in that and not be throwing marshmallows and stuff and doing stuff with the spaghetti, okay? So it ties into my message. My goal and desire with doing things like that is not just to be like, oh, we're fun, we do a youth ministry, but to help you have visual pictures of things to understand God's truths. That's why I do things like that. So, talking about integrity, I'm gonna come back to that activity, but I want you to be thinking about that throughout this course or throughout this message as I'm talking about integrity. So, on your table are sheets if you want to take notes, and if you can just turn around so you can see me, you can write on your Bible, whatever it may be. And I'd love for you to put your phone in the middle of the table so it's not a distraction. You can actually listen. So, what is integrity? Couple concepts here. So, as a general concept, it would be the quality or state of being whole or complete. So, when you think about the activity you just did, right? You were trying to probably build some kind of base, some kind of foundation, so that it had this completeness of a foundation so that it could go up. So, for us, integrity is this quality of state of being whole or complete. And that really matters. If you're into building, integrity really matters, because if there is something impure within metal, or a wood has a crack in it, it's not whole and it's not complete and it's susceptible to some kind of damage. So it could also be defined as the situation which outward conduct, I want you to hear this, with which outward conduct arises out of, so comes out of and coheres or is part of, coheres with sound, inwardly held moral principles. So when we start getting into integrity in regards to personal integrity or character, it's this idea of what I actually say I believe and hold inwardly within my soul and my heart, that is actually how I live. That is integrity. Integrity is not going, I did something bad, I confess it, it's all good. That is not integrity, just because I came out with it. Integrity is saying, I hold these inward beliefs, and I live them out. Now, some people could have integrity in regards to, hey, I'm just going full on, I'm just going to live how I want, and I'm going to live that out. I would say that's integrity too. And sometimes I actually appreciate that, when people don't try to live with these different masks on. So, integrity could also be defined as faithful support of a standard of values. So you're actually supporting and living out the things you believe. Now, if we want to talk about what is Christian integrity, spiritual integrity, is this. The Christian vision of integrity suggests that personal authenticity, so authentic, really for real, who you say you are outwardly is who you actually are, entails living in accordance with moral principles. So there is actually moral principles found in God's word, but they're not just moral principles. They're actually God's truth. and they arise out of God's intention for human existence. Now, I feel like that sounds really deep, but the whole reality of that is just saying, I'm actually believing what God says, how to live, how to think, how to act, and I live it out. That's what integrity is as a Christian. Or you could say acting in accordance with personal convictions that are based on understanding of God's purposes for creation and humankind and the person as a disciple of Jesus. So it's kind of like saying, if I believe in Genesis 1 that man is created in God's image, if I actually believe that, well, then the way that I live, if I have integrity and I really believe that, the way that I live is I want to protect life. I'm not trying to demean people in the way that I talk, right? So integrity starts actually flowing into our real life. It's not just this theoretical thing. So you're going to think I'm stupid for this, and that's totally fine. I'm used to it. I really am. I think we wear a mask a lot, right? We wear a mask a lot depending on where we are. If we're kind of at home, we have this kind of mask going like, oh, it's good at home. My parents are, you know, thinking I'm good in this way. Or I'm at church and my friends see me this way. And then I'm at school and I'm living this way. And we put this mask on. Like we've got it all together. We come in on a Sunday morning, sit at the table, we do our thing. Now, for some of you, you do live with integrity. Like you're for real who you are. But for some of you, you just put on different masks wherever you go. If I'm at school, I live this way. When I'm at home, I live this way. When I'm on sports team, I live this way. How do I know that? Because that's what I've done for a lot of my life. So a lot of times, this is the mask we put on. It's all good. And again, how do I know that? Because I know a lot of your stories. And I know that you put on this face, you're actually, a lot of times, living like this. Inwardly, it is not all good. Inwardly, you are struggling. You're wondering what's going on. You are trying to live for different people. And so we have this thing where we're always trying to put on a mask. Wherever I am, I'm putting a different mask on. And integrity is saying, I am who I am wherever I am. But I'm God's child. I'm living the way he desires. I think that probably hits all of us to some degree or another, how we live with these different masks on. And so as I was studying integrity for this message, I kept coming back to these verses about integrity that had to do with the man of Job. Now, some of you have probably looked in the table of contents and wondered, wow, there's a whole career course in the Bible. It's called Job. But his name was actually Job. And I feel like he has talked, integrity of his life has talked so much in there. Now, I know I could have easily gone to Joseph. Joseph is totally a man of integrity. But I kept coming back to this man, Job. And I'm like, God, why do you keep bringing me back to him? And so I try to study his life. Now, I'm taking an entire book with like 40-some chapters, putting it into a couple of, 25 minutes, okay? So I'm not totally explaining the whole story of Job. But this is what it says about the man Job. Job's character and wealth. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, a man who feared God and turned away from evil. I mean, I would love to have that written about me in the Bible. If you want to say what is integrity, blameless and upright. This is God's inspired word saying this man Job was blameless and upright. That means blameless when people weren't looking, blameless when they were looking, upright in the sense that he didn't have anything to worry about. He was a man of integrity. Now, it doesn't go into depth about how he did this, and it doesn't go into depth about his life before this situation we're going to talk about in his life, but we can know if it says he's blameless and upright, he feared God and he turned away from evil, then we can know that his life was one of integrity. He had a life of integrity. And the way for you to think about that, to have that visual picture, is those towers you built. I'll be honest, some of yours had no integrity. They didn't stand very tall, but it's really interesting, and it proved a great point. Those of you that had some that stood, some a little bit taller than others that stood, they had this base, this foundation that had integrity. The spaghetti pieces were stuck into the marshmallow well. You had a foundation. But the interesting thing is, before you started, it was just a bag of marshmallows and a thing of spaghetti. And by the way, I had some really great conversation about what I was doing in the Wegmans line yesterday. It was awesome buying supplies. They're like, why are you buying 600 boxes of spaghetti and marshmallows? This is what some guy said to me. He goes, are you stacking up for the coronavirus? I was like, oh yeah, man. I was like, marshmallow, dude, they'll hook you up. They're great. I'm kidding you, I'm not making that up. So I got to tell them, oh, I'm a youth pastor, so it's kind of cool talking about integrity. So anyways, but that idea of all those things were just there, but then when they came together, they built this foundation and this tower. But it was each little piece that came together. And that's how Job was a man of integrity. He made 1,000 little decisions before this one circumstance and situation came up in his life. And then he lived out integrity. Remember, integrity is actually living out the things we believe, not just saying we believe things. So Job was this man of integrity. Now, here's what happens. Don't totally understand this, but I do believe it, and we can talk about it more. But Satan actually comes before God and basically says, God's like, what have you been doing? Satan's like, I've been roaming to and fro on the earth. Basically, I'm looking for someone to destroy. I'm looking for someone to mess with. And I think I know why. We're going to talk about it. This is what God says to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? So God says, I'm going to take the man that seems to love me and stand for me the most, and Satan, I'm going to kind of let you mess with his life. Job's faith and integrity are going to be tested, just like ours are, almost every day. In some small way, our integrity, our Christian integrity, and our faith is tested. And so, we don't know much about Job's life, but we realize that he has a blameless and upright man. He has this integrity, and Satan's allowed to test Job, to try to get him to curse God ultimately. And so here's what Satan says. He answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land? And so Satan is really doing this. He is calling out Job's integrity. And he's calling it out, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, you know what, God? Job only serves you because you have made his life perfect. That's the only reason he serves you. So he is calling out Job's integrity. And this is what Satan is looking to do to us. Talks about in 1 Peter, talks about how Satan is a roaring lion looking who he can devour. To call out our integrity, to call out our faith in God and get us to question it. So Satan questions Job's integrity and his desire to serve God. And Satan says it's really only because Job believes he will get something so he obeys. And so my question is, do we sometimes see our faith like that? Okay, God, if I do so-and-so, if I go to church, if I go on a mission trip, if I read my Bible, then God, you kind of owe me this. You sort of owe me this life. And so I think sometimes we don't realize it, but we can treat God like a genie. And this story of Job kind of blows that whole idea up that if we do the right thing, then God will bless us. And we see this reality that Job was such an upright man, a man of integrity. And yet his life was tested with some really hard things. So this is what I want you to do. I just want you at your table, take a couple minutes and discuss that. Do you think we act like this? And that what I just talked about, that if God, I do so-and-so, then you owe me this thing or I should deserve this thing. And I want you to kind of explain your answer. So think about your life and how you act with being moral, being good. Does God owe us something? Take a minute to discuss that. Let you finish up that. Last person. So I know I'm not giving you a ton of time. I got a couple more questions throughout while you discuss. So here's what happens. I want you to also realize this. When Satan said this, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not made his life perfect? Satan is actually really questioning God's integrity too. He's really saying, you know, God, the only reason that people serve you is because you're really offering them awards and you'll do good things for them. Like that, I mean, he's really questioning God's integrity here. And so I think it's interesting. Maybe this indictment against God's character is one of the reasons that God allowed Satan to mess with Job's life. Because God knew Job's heart. He knew that Job had made decisions over his life to remain faithful, to be a man of integrity. And so God was willing to use Job as a demonstration to silence Satan. Now, I'm not saying that that's easy to understand. I'm not saying that that's easy to believe and live out. But I do think that's true. I think God was willing to go, Job serves me not because of the good things that he gets, but because he's just willing to serve me because I'm God. And you know, when we decide to live like that, who can be against us? Who can mess with our integrity? Nobody. Nobody can mess with it. Because it's only God that we are serving. And so this is what happens. Satan is allowed to mess with him. And he takes all of his children away. And a ton of his possessions. They die. And even in the midst of losing his children and his livestock, he refused to worship God. Crazy? A little bit. I agree. But this is what he said. This is what Satan now says. But stretch out your hand, touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. That's what he says to God. If you take these things away, if you allow me to do this, Job will curse you to my face. And here's what happens. Job 1:20, then Job arose. After this happened, he arose, he tears his robe, he shaves his head, he fell on the ground, and he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or curse God or change or charge God with wrong. He didn't curse God and say, you know, God, you did these things to me. Therefore, I'm cursing your face. I'm turning away. I'm going to do my own thing. And I think the reason is because Job's integrity, it wasn't built in the crisis. That's what happens to us a lot. We think, just living life, doing the thing, pursuing these things and that, maybe not all bad things. And we're not making these little steps to build integrity. And so when the crisis comes, man, we are so faced with it that we ultimately crumble under it. And so I want to encourage you today to say, will you take the small steps that seem kind of hard in the moment, but are these little steps, I'll call them the little marshmallows that you're building to build a life of integrity so that when the crisis comes, you are able to stand. And so Satan accuses Job again of only remaining true to God. Here's what he says. Satan, and the Lord said to Satan, again, have you considered my servant Job? This is the second time. So Satan basically says to him, you know, the only reason that Job's serving you and loving you and hasn't cursed you and remains a man of integrity is because you might have done some stuff around him, but you didn't do anything to him. And so this is what God says again. Have you considered my servant Job? I kind of think God's being a little sarcastic here at this point, to be honest. I think he's saying, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth. You took everything from him and he still worshiped you. A blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. It says he still holds fast to his integrity. Even in the midst of that, he still held fast to his integrity. So Satan is allowed to attack Job's health. Here's what I read. The disease that it said that Job had, as attested by physicians today, matches the symptoms of Job's affliction. Inflamed, ulcerous sores, itching, degenerative changes in facial skin. These are all described in Job. You can read chapters 2 and further on. Loss of appetite, depression, loss of strength, worms in his boils, running sores, difficulty in breathing, darkness under the eyes, foul breath, loss of weight, continual pain, restlessness, blackened skin, peeling skin, and fever. That's all that happened to Job. But I had to be honest, if that's me, I think I'm probably saying, God, I'm cursing you at this point. You took everything from me, now you're even taking my health. And so here's where we find Job now at this point. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head, and he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. This man Job, who was an upright man that was revered in his town as an elder, is now sitting outside of the city in the trash dump. That's where he is. That's where he finds himself, sitting among the burning trash. And guess what? Here's what his awesome bride says to him. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This is exactly what Satan told God Job would do. He would curse you to his face. And when Job needed his wife the most, she let him down. But this is what I want you to remember. The Christian vision of integrity suggests that personal authenticity entails living in accordance with moral principles arising out of God's intention for human existence. To break that down in the life of Job, it means that even when life sucks and is really hard, we are holding fast to God and saying, Lord, you're not all about just giving us good things, Lord, that we see as good things. But God, we will remain faithful to you even when it's hard because we've built this life of integrity and remaining faithful to you. Job points out to her that both the good and the bad come from God. He would not lose his integrity, even when his very life seemed to be taken from him. Further on, it goes on, and Job has some really awesome friends that then come around him and basically say, Job, you must be sinning. You must just be really sinning, and God's doing all these things to you. So they begin equating, well, because you're in sin, that's why God is cursing you. Great friends, right? We know that Job was an upright man. Is there consequences in our life because of our sin? Yes. Is there sometimes that life is hard because God is allowing it for reasons that we can't fully understand? Yes. And that's where integrity is built. So this is what Job says a little on after his friends have been helping him. As God lives, who has taken away my right in the Almighty, who has made my soul bitter, as long as my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood, my tongue will not utter deceit. Far be it from me to say that you are right. Till I die, I will not put away integrity from me. I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach me for any of my days. And even in the midst of, even of his friends, even of his health being taken, and all things being taken away, he says, I will not put my integrity away from me. As followers of Christ, guys, we are not called to be good people or nice people. Even though that's how the world might see it, your friends might say, you're just such a good person. You're just such a nice person. That's not what we're called to be. Instead, we're called to live by faith, living in accordance to God's word in all parts of our life. We are whole and be complete. That's integrity, because we're seeking to live by truth at all times. The whole point of Job's suffering was to glorify God. Again, not saying that is the easiest thing to believe, but I think about it like this. And when I've gone through some of the really hard things in my own life, this was a comfort to me because I realized, you know what, God? I believe that there's this kind of cosmic battle taking place between God and Satan. And Lord, you want to use me to show, God, if I remain faithful to you, I am being a part of that battle. I am battling for you, God. I am glorifying you, even in the midst of this trial. God desires to use us to show Satan we will serve God no matter what happens. And know this, if you want to write something down, Job's integrity unknowingly silenced the accusations of Satan. So sometimes when you're in the midst of it, and I'm going to talk about some examples, but when you're in the midst of it, and it seems really hard to hold your integrity, to walk with Christ, when everybody else around you is doing something different, or it would be really fun to do that other thing, whatever it may be, when you hold fast your integrity and say, God, I will continue to serve you. I will not curse you. I will walk with integrity. You are unknowingly silencing the accusations of Satan to say, they will only serve you, Satan, if you are good to them. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take another just 2 minutes and talk. What did you learn about integrity from the life of Job? Go ahead and discuss that for 2 minutes. Okay. I want to kind of end with just some practical, but I wanted to start with the life of Job. And I think God brought me to the life of Job. For us, I think sometimes even in our American mindset, we get into the idea of like, well, if God's being good to us and things in life are going good, then I must be serving God well. Well, and if life starts going wrong for me and I don't like the way it's going, well, then God must not be good. We begin living in that mindset and to realize the whole point of integrity is not just to be like, well, I'm a really good person, I'm a really nice person, but to say the goal is, man, I am glorifying God. I'm serving him. My life shows that. And there is a bigger battle going on than I see. But I want to get down to some practicals here, okay? So kind of this idea of like, why does it matter? And I'm just wondering, I hope some of you have connected with this idea of like us wearing masks, the different places that we go. And so, you know, our integrity is in jeopardy here because of the different masks that we wear depending on where we go. So I want to talk about this. Proverbs 11:3 says this. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So why does integrity matter? Integrity allows us to see life clearly. Like, get that. Integrity, wholeness, completeness, living the same way, living under God's truth allows us to see clearly. And this is where this whole mask thing comes into play. So when you're with your friends in one place, you're trying to live this way. But then you go over to this other place and you begin living this way. You can't even see life clearly. You don't know what's happening because you're so confused. Your life is not whole. Your life is not complete because you're trying to live different ways. Integrity allows us to see clearly. It guides us. It leads us in all situations because we're not going based off of our feelings. We're going based off of truth. We're living based off of what does God's truth say? How do we live it out? From the really small to the really big. And the interesting kind of cool thing is when you're living with these different masks on, depending on what group of friends you're with or where you are, your life becomes so complicated. It's crazy. I talk to some of you and your life seems so complicated. I'm like, I'm not sure it's supposed to be that complicated. I think it's so many because we're wearing different masks depending on where we go. It can be a simple life, a life that's not hiding and not putting on different masks, being different people at different moments. And I'm not saying that you don't act a little bit different around people. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Like, depending on some groups I'm with, I might be a little more outward, a little bit more shy, whatever it may be. But I'm talking about your integrity, your morals, your values, your character changes depending on where you go. So what are you allowing to guide you? Are you allowing your feelings to guide your integrity, your others' opinions, friends, social media? There's a million things out there. What are you, I want you to think today, what are you allowing to guide you with whatever, wherever you are in life, whatever situation you're in? And so it's like, how do we build integrity then, Lee? Okay, I get it. Integrity is important. How do we build it? Well, I've already started to get into it, but I want to give you this quote that Bobby James hooked me up with. He sent me this week. The character, this is Ronald Reagan that quoted this, the character that takes command in moments of crucial choices has already been determined by 1,000 other choices made earlier in seemingly unimportant moments. It's been determined by all the little choices of the past, by all those times when the voice of conscience was at war with the voice of temptation. That's the battle. When the voice of conscience, the voice of God, is speaking into you, and yet the voice of temptation is there, which was whispering the lie that it doesn't really matter. It's been determined by all the day-to-day decisions made when life seemed easy and crisis seemed far away, the decisions that piece by piece, marshmallow by marshmallow, bit by bit, developed habits of discipline or of laziness, habits of self-sacrifice or self-indulgence, habits of duty and honor and integrity or dishonor and shame. He's just hitting at such a key point there that integrity is moment by moment. I would say it like this. I think I got it there. It's brick by brick. That's how you build a house. That's how you build a foundation. You go brick by brick, and each brick being important to the next. And so, two questions when I think about brick by brick. One, what am I doing when no one is looking? What am I doing? What am I thinking when no one's looking? Because that is probably one of the hardest parts of integrity. And actually, that's what ends up many times affecting what we do when people are looking. My second question to you is this. What am I doing when the people who matter are not looking? Let me say that again. What am I doing when the people that matter are not looking? And I say that because some of you probably are running in crowds and groups of people that the things that you're doing with them, that you're doing, are definitely against what the Lord would want, but they're not telling you that's wrong. So I don't want to ask you just to say, well, what are you doing when no one's looking? I want to ask you, what are you doing when the people who actually matter aren't looking, that really care? It's little moments, it's big moments that allow us to walk in integrity. And I was talking to Wendy about this about this message and about integrity. And I'm just like, that big question to me is like, how is it built? Like, how do you do it? We all want integrity. We're all sitting here probably saying, I want that, but it's hard. And so we were talking about it, and I asked Wendy, she said I could share the story, but in third grade, because I was like, where does it start? Where does integrity start? When do we start building it? And I think it starts really early on. In third grade for Wendy, she was in this class, and she had never cheated before, but there was a spelling test, and this one name came up. I think it was Daniel, right? Was that it? Daniel. And she's sitting there, and she's like, oh, crap, I can't remember if it's IE or EI. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's a Daniel in my class. So she turns around to his cubby, looks, sees how it's spelled. She does it, and she goes home, and she gets home, and her mom's like, something's not right with you. Like, something is not right here. Now, I know none of you can believe Wendy would ever cheat, even in third grade. I know. But she gets home, and her mom says, you're miserable. What's going on? And she had a guilty conscience. The Holy Spirit was pricking her heart, and so she told her mom what's happening. And that was hard, but she did it. And her mom says, you need to call your teacher and tell her. So she calls her teacher and tells her, and the teacher says, okay, I'm going to take off that point. It was really hard for you to do this. And I know to you that's a silly story. And the kind of sad thing is that a lot of you are in here saying, who cares? Cheating doesn't really matter. But if piece by piece, brick by brick, we build a life of integrity, well, then cheating does matter. It does matter. God cares about every part of our life as we build this life of integrity. And so, here's what Ephesians 6, chapter 6 says. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you could read this if you don't know exactly what the armor of God is. It's spiritual armor. And you could say, well, isn't that righteousness like the righteousness we get when we are saved? And so then we've got it on. We're good to go. No, this breastplate of righteousness is the ongoing work of God continuing to sanctify us, of us growing to be more like him. Because this is what the breastplate would have looked like. And the whole reality is, you know what it protected? It protected the internal organs from harm. And when we are going, God, I want a life of integrity. I want to walk with you, even when it's hard. In essence, we're protecting our spiritual organs, the things that keep us living, that keep us remaining, allowing to walk with the Lord. And so if you go a little bit further back, here's what Ephesians 6 says. This ties right into the battle, character found on the battlefield. Here's what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's the whole point of integrity. It's not to be a good person. It's to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so some of you wonder, why do I so often fall to temptation? Why do I so often fall? It's because God says, your integrity matters. All the little parts matter. Your integrity is how you stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Remember I talked about there's this battle going on? Against the cosmic battle over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Integrity is to be able to stand when the devil comes to attack. So you want me to just throw out some things? Lying, cheating, stealing, cussing, gossip, substance abuse, how we use our time and our priorities, whether I go to church or not, the ethics that I have on sexual identity, marriage, money. God speaks to all these things. And he says, I care about all of these things. And I want you to walk in integrity so that when hard times come, you can stand against the schemes of the devil. And I'm going to end here. I want to tell you just a few things. What are the negative effects of not having integrity, and what are the positive effects? Here's a couple. These aren't exhaustive. When you decide the little things don't matter, my integrity doesn't matter, be honest, no one can trust you. It's hard to trust someone that doesn't have integrity. And then you get mad when people question you, but you haven't been living with integrity. So people, it's hard for them to trust you. You don't trust yourself. Think about that. If you have no integrity, you're a different person in different places. You don't trust yourself how to live. Your integrity doesn't guard you. You are left open to anything or anyone influencing you because you've allowed anything to come in. A lack of integrity leads to a life of sin because of poor judgment and discernment. Now, ultimately, I believe you'll fall to the devil's schemes if you don't care about your own integrity, and you'll walk away from the faith and the church. Now, I'm not saying you're going to become an axe murderer just because you don't have integrity. But what I'm saying is it's a slow fade. It's a slow fade that happens. It's not a big deal. It's just a little bit. My integrity is still pretty good. And it's this slow fade as we walk away from the Lord. But we look at the life of Job. When the really hard things happen, he was able to stand because of his integrity built in the Lord. So here's the benefits of integrity. It guards me. I can walk in freedom. I can see clearly. I have a guide. My conscience guides me. The Holy Spirit is guiding me. I have this way the Holy Spirit is walking in me. I have vindication. What do I need to fear? Who do I need to fear? Here's what Psalm 25 says. Oop, I didn't put it in there. Come on, Lee. Psalm 25:21 basically says, my integrity will guard me. Now, I can tell you, when I was in high school and part of the way into college, when I had a double life where I was wearing two different masks, I was always worried. Is someone going to figure out who I am? Someone going to walk in on me doing the things I'm doing? Now, I'm not perfect now, but as I've said, my integrity matters, man. I found a lot of freedom in living. I'm not worried, am I going to be found out? There's such freedom there. You know what? When we live with integrity, we will actually be able to make a difference in other people's lives. We can be life to them. You want to know a super practical way that your integrity matters? You'll be loved by your employer. You might even get a bonus. You might even get a raise. They might actually give you more responsibility. That is a benefit of integrity. But here's what I'll say this. More than anything, why your integrity matters is because you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil and walk with God. And in the end, I think we all want this to be said of our lives. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. That was the guy that took serious every part of his life and walking out. God said, well done, good and faithful servant. So if I were to just leave you with this today, man, if you are in here today walking, wearing masks, don't let today pass without talking to someone. Talk with your table leader. Come talk with me. Maybe you need to confess some things to people in your lives to begin walking in integrity. Because if you allow yourself to stay in the darkness, to let it stay hidden, and say the little things don't matter, you will continue in that slow fade. But that character of integrity is found on the battlefield, and that is where it is proven as we walk with the Lord. So let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your truth today, God. Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit's got to work here. And Lord, I pray it is in my life, in the leaders' lives, in the students' lives. God, you want us to be people of integrity so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil and walk in faith with you. So Lord, I pray, God, that you're working here. Allow those that are in the middle, that are going through something right now, God, that are on the fence of whether they should talk to somebody about it, Lord, that they would do that today. Find freedom, begin walking in integrity and building that life of integrity. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.